ASU Tiger fans. Welcome to episode 172 of the official Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club podcast, bringing you all the latest news, updates, and buzz surrounding your mighty JSU Tigers. I am the Corey C. Be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast to be notified of every new episode. Apple Podcast users, rate and review the show. And everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Instagram and Twitter. It all helps the cause, which is the I love Jackson State University. Joining me today is Mike B. What up, Mike?
What's up, Corey? What's going on? What's going on, Tiger fans?
All right. All right. Welcome back in. And, of course, we have Superman right out of the booth, Ken Clark.
What's going on, Tiger fans? What's up, Corey? What's up, fellas?
Glad to have you, as always. And back for the second time. I guess he enjoyed it so much that he had to hang out with us again. None other than Levine. Welcome back.
What's up, man? I had to come back again.
Absolutely, man. We enjoy having you. A lot of knowledge, a lot of history with the program. Looking forward to doing a lot more with you in the future, because I know you can take us back to before we were even born. Mike, you can take us back to give us some Jackson State stories.
All the way back to McPherson.
Yes, sir. We got to hear it. We got to hear it. So we will be calling on you to get those stories. We got to archive them. Got to archive them and let this current future generation know what's up with that history. But, fellas, the countdown is on. If you're a football fan, whether it's high school, college, the NFL, this is the time of year where you can feel it. I mean, it's like it's finally within arm's reach. You can almost reach out and touch it. And there's so much going on at 1400 Lent. So much to talk about. So let's talk about it. And, guys, I want to start with SWAC Media Day that just took place. I definitely want to get your guys' thoughts on it. But first, I was excited just to see it take place, just to see everybody come together and convene after what we've gone through in the past year plus with this COVID, not having a media day, not having a fall season. So just to see everyone there and you know, fight back together, you know, the smack talk is always great. But again, just having everyone assemble, as simple as that is, it means so much nowadays.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah. A lot less depressing this time around. So. You know, I enjoyed it, not having to, you know, look at the Zoom calls and the conference calls, you know, at large like we had to last year. And just, you know, just see people, you know, right there in front of you on the stage, you know, wearing the best suits and, you know, best dress and all that. So I enjoyed it.
And it didn't hit me until really a few days before SWAC Media Day that people were actually going to Birmingham. I was still thinking Zoom, and somebody, I think it was Driscoll, asked me, "You going?" And I was thinking, "What do you mean going? Am I going?" And then, like, "Oh, wait a minute, going? Oh, wait a minute, you mean like get in the car, get on the plane?" And, yeah. So this is new.
You media man, you had to go out there, man. But no, it's cool. You know what? The coolest thing about it to me was when we see SWAC Media Day, man, lets us know the season is near. Man, I'm so excited for this season, and like you said, somebody brought up a good point. No Zoom calls, and let's just be real, man. It's that prime effect. You know, it was reported that you had almost, I don't know the numbers. I think maybe 20 to 30 on an average, and then you had some over 200 this time around. So a lot of excitement, man, for this season with the addition of our two new SWAC foes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at Twitter and I saw Jamel Hill about, you know, some of the events and some of the things that transpired at SWAC Media Day. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is, you know, what a difference a year makes.
And it was on ESPN 3, I think it was 3, right? ESPN 3. Nonetheless, you know, ESPN, you know, to have that on SWAC Media Day, that's huge for us.
It was also SEC Media Day, man. And yeah. Nobody talked about it. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, I mean, think about that, man, how SWAC Media Day overshadowed the biggest, you know, a big SEC, you know what I mean? Like, nobody has talked about SEC Media Day at all. Right. Not that I know of.
And I think that the pub that Nick Saban got, it was somewhat tagline to what our SWAC Media Day was.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They all said,
yeah.
Let's talk with Nick and see, let's forget about the rest of, hey, Nick. Yeah. Let's see what you think about Jackson State.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick, talk about the SWAC. Come on, yeah.
Hey, when you hot, you hot, man, and we all know why. I mean, I know a lot of the naysayers, and there's a lot of hate, man, coming from, you know, the move that we made, you know, less than a year ago with bringing Coach Prime to the, you know, to 1400 J.R. Lynch. But man, let's be real. This is the Prime effect, man. And mm-hmm. this is what happens when you take a big brand like Coach Prime and you marry it to a big HBCU brand like Jackson State. Exactly. So it's been beautiful to me.
So what were your fellas, what were your thoughts on Coach Prime making his SWAC Media Day debut?
I think it was a success because let me tell you, I know the Zoom was okay, but it's not the same when you have a bigger than life coach and you put him in that spotlight and all of the flair and excitement. Even the way he talked, he draws that energy into the room, into the conversation. Nothing he talks about is very dull or boring. So, man, they hold it on every breath. What is he going to say next? What is he going to say next? And I was sitting there with, what are you going to say next? Yeah, and either it's going to be good, they're going to love it, or the other school going to hate it. Either way.
Right. Yeah, it's either or.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was something I hadn't, you know, judge, you know, Coach Robert Hughes, he would go in there and, you know, he'd always hit you with some, we're going to turn him loose, you know. So I enjoyed it.
That bear like bear with hair. Nothing beats that. Does a bear have hair statement?
I thought, man, I really enjoyed it. It was good to see Coach Prime, man. He was clean as always, you know. We rolled out a new helmet. We know that was by his design. And, I just thought it was exciting. I mean, we had, you know, some of us have had the chance to be in Coach Prime's presence since he's been, you know, at Jackson State. And I mean, he commands the room, man. So it was pretty cool to kind of see. But one of the things I love is that he made it about the players. He made it about always. The school.
And he always
yeah, he deflected big time. And he didn't want to, but he also, when he had his moments when he was on stage, man, he touched on some things he wanted to talk about. But I enjoyed it. I thought he did real well and represented school well.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, very impressive. He did a great job. As always, I mean, it's Deion, Coach Prime Sanders. So what else would you expect? But I was impressed with the two young men that he brought with him, the two student athletes. Of course, his son, a freshman. You know, that was a point of discussion. You're bringing a freshman who never played a snap. But, hey, it's Coach Prime. He can do what he wants to do. If he feels this is the guy, this is the leader, then so be it. Who am I to second guess it? Who are we to second guess it? Right. But a surprise. Niles Gaddy, I wasn't interested in that. I don't know if you were, but their interviews, I was impressed. Those guys mean business.
Yeah, man, Niles. Man, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Niles. I just think, you know what I thought? I thought from the two players that he brought, I thought both of them represents that Jackson State personality.
Right.
I thought Niles Gaddy was that, you know, that no nonsense. Mm-hmm. We down to business. I wish, you know, sucker would, you know, but
watch
Shador
it,
was no. I'm this PG, you know, we're going to keep it professional, but Shador said some stuff, man. He got some Jackson State. He got some Jew in him, man. Like, you know, he said some things that's kind of, you know, swag. Circulating. Yeah. He got that swagger, you know, some would call it cockiness, arrogance. He don't, but who are we to say that a freshman, there's no rules to this. If that kid, talked about his preparation. He believes in what he's doing. He's been preparing for this. So, you know what? His whole life. And you know what?
He was a kid who was going, you know, could have gone P5. And then obviously it was.
Man had 30 offers.
Athletic. So, and this is not to look down on the SWAC. I'm not saying he is. But if he was preparing himself for potentially a Power 5 school and to end up in a SWAC school, obviously the confidence is going to come with it because he was expecting to get it done at a higher level.
Do you feel like a successful day against practice equates to a win that we have?
It equates to a blowout. You gotta understand, we y'all don't really understand, like, it's players that have different caliber of talent that all came to JSU. So it's like, when you compare us to a regular SWAC team, a different SWAC team, the best, like, you gotta understand, we didn't come here because we had to. We came here because we chose to. It's a difference.
Audio courtesy of HBCU Game Day.
I think the biggest thing was, is do you say it?
Mm-hmm. Mike and I today have been going back and forth on this.
Corey and I went back and forth on this. Yeah.
Do you say that?
And
I mean, but
and,
he could though.
Yeah. I think what it does is it puts that target on your back that you don't necessarily need, but when you think about it, he's had that target on his back his whole life.
Yes, he has.
Just because who he is. I'm pretty sure when he played peewee ball, they're like, oh, this Deion's son. I'm gonna go out here and jack him up. So I'm sure our opposition is gonna come at it with the same vigor. And I know he's prepared for it because again, this has been his entire life. He's been, you know, Deion's son his whole life, and he's gonna come here and make a name for himself.
Let's be real. Whether he made that statement or not,
come on,
just because of what Mike B said, that last part, just because he is Deion's son,
yep,
he had a target on his back the day he signed the
contract. It got even bigger, though. It got even bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
After this, it got bigger.
I honestly felt, if you look at the second one when he was talking about, man, they were asking us about other schools, and I'm here thinking he was just really processing this in his mind, and it came out. It came out. He didn't really get it. It's like, well, we're practicing against SEC talent, and most people don't understand what he meant. But if you look at the
– I understood it.
Yeah, we understood it.
They understood it too.
Yeah, they understood, but they wanted to make something out of it. But when you look at Sador was talking about was the complexity of that whole defense as a whole. I'm throwing against these guys every day, although y'all didn't see them in the spring. Mm-hmm. And see, that's what everybody talking about. What are y'all doing in the spring? No, you ain't see the competition he's throwing against in practice. And that in his mind was his preparation. That's what he was talking about as far as being prepared.
And yeah, man, just like Levine said, man, I mean, he took the words right out of my head. And, you know, as soon as we hired Coach Prime, you know, and his son committed to be the quarterback at Jackson State, he had a target on his head. And you've heard chatter, you know, through social media, and they've been looking any little clip that they could find, you know, to find little this and that. All that audio that he gave was really just, I mean, it's bulletin board material, but like I look at it like this. The people that's talking on social media are not playing the game. Mm-hmm. If he feels like he can go out there on the field and back it up, I think that's what he's really only speaking to his preparation. But you know, they'll omit the other stuff that he said. But I'll say this: beware of cheap shots. And I challenge anybody. You go out there and cheap shot. He got some goons out there with him now. And I know they know as well that the season's gonna go about as well as Shador Sanders go. And we're putting a lot on him, so be careful. That's all I'm gonna put it. That's all I'm gonna say. Just be careful.
Shador Sanders has a bodyguard by the name of Tony Gray.
Yes, sir. So
he has a bodyguard. Hey,
keep it in the lines of the game. But that cheap shots ain't gonna fly, man. But it's you know, there's a lot of different social media outlets, man, where people talk smack all day. We won't plug them on this show, but what we'll say is that, I mean, he just said what they've been saying in real life. He got that JSU swagger, and I stand behind him on it.
It's a testament to his leadership because you know that now his teammates are going to see that, and you know the vote of confidence that he's giving to his teammates, they're not going to want to let him down, and that's what good leaders do.
They've already been piggybacking off what he said on social media. They've been retweeting it and reposting it and just really co-signing what he said. So everybody's on the same page. But he put it out there. You guys have to remember who his father is. Deion Sanders, aka Coach Prime. Deion Sanders doesn't bite his tongue. He says what's on his mind, good, better, worse. You know, he just keeps it real. And I think Shador was just being honest. You know, there's the question, like we said, do you say it? But I don't think the Sanders family looks at it like that. If they believe it, they're going to say it. And, you know, we can't fault them for that. That's who they are. It's genuine. It wasn't, you know, staged. It's just that's the question was asking. That's how he felt. And now we just have to back it up on the field. So
it's funny when you're saying that. When I was looking at that, in my mind, I thought, that's a young Deion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a young Deion.
It is his natural
older. I super told his daddy face in my mind cognitively. That's Deion.
I think there'll be a difference between an 18, 19-year-old Shador and a 21, 22-year-old Shador. I think if you put him in that same situation, you see something totally different.
I agree. All right, another great moment at SWAC Media Day was Coach Prime meeting Alabama State running back Ezra Gray, and a lot of people didn't know the backstory until they saw the video. But Ezra Gray actually wrote Coach Prime a letter after the Alabama State versus Jackson State game, just thanking him for what all he had done to bring attention and exposure to HBCUs, and specifically that game, which was on ESPN. And Ezra had a great game, one of his best games. Obviously, a lot of people got to see it. So he wrote Coach Prime a letter thanking him, and Coach Prime called him. Right. He gave him a call. So they started to kind of build a relationship. And I think they met for the first time at SWAC Media Day, and it was caught on camera. And Coach put up this great post talking about how he almost cried. And that got him a lot of attention, and just positive seeing those two come together and what he done. And it really be recognized by other schools and other players, because, you know, we get a lot of hate on what Coach Prime is doing. But for him to be appreciated, that was special moment.
You brought tears to my eyes, man.
They say he was talking that field.
No. You broke my love.
How much
that touched me? Really blessed me. I read it before the stats. Blessed me, man.
I really appreciate it.
No, that was God way of letting me know.
Yes, God used you. Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Keep on talking. Yes, sir. Keep on talking.
Well, I just think I think we got an opportunity just in the African American community, period, when it comes to something like that. I think we got a ways to go. And I think we have a phenomenal opportunity with Coach Prime coming to Jackson State. I've learned so much from Coach Prime, you know, putting your emotions aside to help, you know, lend a hand to help your fellow man. And he has a consistent message that he's been saying since he's been here, man, is that, you know, he want to do everything he can for all HBCUs. Now, I know when we hear that, as some JSU fans hear that, they're like, why are we worrying about him or worrying about them? Just focus on Jackson State. But see, this man has a much bigger calling. And, you know, the sooner we appreciate that, the more we can really kind of learn from it. That man's reached out. He's even said some other things to try to help. Now, will these coaches respond to it? Hey, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But it's pretty refreshing to see. I just think we have an opportunity, though.
I went to Twitter, and there were a lot of critics and detractors and naysayers. I'm not going to name any names, but you know, there are a few of them out there. And I've been following their timelines lately, and none of them said anything about this. But when Coach Prime came in, there was a lot of, oh, this is all about him. You know, how is he going to bring this program down? This is he's not genuine. I would challenge them to tweet that now. I want to see how the ages for them. In the light of seeing transpire since he's been here.
Right.
Yeah, I think we would spend a day's time if we just highlight the good that Coach Prime has done since he's been there. We can just stop focusing on the hate and all the naysayers and the negativity. If we just highlighted what this man has done in his short time at Jackson State, it's been nothing short of absolutely phenomenal, man. So, I mean, kudos to Coach Prime and what he's doing. I know we all excited. And if they, hey, you know, closed mouth don't get fed, you know, we may be touching on some of that other stuff that, you know, that he's done. But that's, I just, nothing, you know, thumbs up to Coach Prime for what he's doing.
Well, I got something I can't close my mouth about. And that is the all SWAC selections, preseason all SWAC. What did you guys think of that?
It's two people came to mind. I was looking for their name, and I was disappointed when I didn't see him. And number one would be Nugget. Nugget was the best cornerback that I saw play. I mean, we played six games, and you know, he represented himself extremely well. Had some really good moments in the spring. I mean, to not even get a second team selection is questionable to me.
Slap in the face.
It's motivation. And then the other one I would say would be Warren Newman. Actually, he had a really good. I could see. I thought he did enough in the spring to garner, because he lit up. Alabama A&M and had some big moments against Grambling. I mean, he was consistent all, you know, all spring season long, you know, six games, a lot of yards, a lot of catches. I think he had the most catches, but probably not the most yards.
But he was a must game planner now.
So then when you throw in the special teams piece, I just thought that Warren Newman and Nugget should have been on either a first or second team. Nugget first team, Warren Newman at least second team.
Yes.
At least.
Right.
And the argument that they're making about Nugget is without merit, because if a team game plans against not throwing to your side, Mm-hmm. What do you want the kid to do? He's doing his job. Mm-hmm. Nothing there. If there's
Nugget Island
there, he's doing his job. Mm-hmm. And I think old school, we used to call that putting him on an island. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that used to get a lot of credit for that, you know. But now this dude got punished for that.
Now it's no stats, so he can't be all sweat.
Well, when you go to a game and you look at the pass attempts, and you know, I know they not breaking it down to the ump play by play.
Right.
They just looking at stats. It doesn't tell the whole story. And if they basing the preseason rankings or the preseason All-American selections off, you know, play by play, then I think they do Nugget a great disservice because they avoided him.
They avoided him. And I think he's being punished when he should have been celebrated for that fact.
Absolutely.
No doubt. I got one more thing about Nugget. If we can go back to that first game against Edward Waters,
right.
I still just like when every time I look at that play, man, when Nugget tackled the guy, stripped the ball, and ran it back.
Right.
I mean, he got robbed of a stat right then because he actually tackled it. That was a tackle. That was a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and a return for a touchdown. And they just, swag referees did what they do.
No doubt. Well, you know, the beauty of it is that we have a full fall season for him to, make some noise. And I think he'll do enough to get that recognition this time around.
So competitor, he'll
prove him wrong. Yeah. All right, fellas, what else is new? We got the announcement from ESPN that the fall schedule for the SWAC, a lot of the games will be televised. We have a total of 39 games, including the SWAC Championship and the Celebration Bowl that will be televised on ESPN, whether it's ESPN 1, 2, 3, ESPN 29, whatever. It's going to be on ESPN 30. We will be on ESPN as a conference 39 times. That's huge. Now, right here, this is the time where we can give Coach Prime his credit. But I think the SWAC as well, you know, because it's one thing for Coach Prime to be at Jackson State and bring the attention. But I think overall as a conference, we have to be healthy, and have quality teams and a quality product to put on display. So kudos to the SWAC in general and all the teams really just stepping up their game from a recruiting standpoint and just having a solid quality product to be on the screen because all the games are Jackson State.
And the SWAC commission. McClellan is doing a great job of leveraging the talent. And the pageantry, as Jay Walker would say, the SWAC.
I mean, the SWAC got all the classics, man, the top classics. Now with adding Bethune-Cookman and FAMU, you got the Florida Classic. But, man, like you just mentioned, the SWAC, maybe it was just me, but it felt like a super conference, man. And I know the Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club is more dedicated to Jackson State, but, you know, hey, man, we can shout out some of these teams. I mean, a lot of these teams are going to be on ESPN because they play good football. You know, Alcorn is coming back. You know, they've had a really good run over the past 6-7 seasons. Southern has played good ball. And the list goes on. UAPB is better. I'm not going to name everybody, but adding in that Bethune-Cookman in Florida A&M, they've done a good job of branding and marketing. Look at the from a marketing standpoint, you pick up Florida, you pick up Atlanta, Georgia with the starting in Atlanta with College Game Day and ending in Atlanta with the Celebration Bowl. And then you get Louisiana all the way across to Texas. You got the whole South, really the whole South, the dirty South, man, you know, represented from the SWAC. And it is definitely a Coach Prime effect, but we want to thank Coach Prime for getting HBCU back on TV in the front. And now we know that there were some games on ESPN prior to Coach Prime, but not to this magnitude. So all the schools should be happy. We, like he said, this year we on 3, 4, and 5, we want to see more games on ESPN 2 and 1. So kudos to him for that.
Have you all realized the FCS, now the face of FCS is SWAC.
Wow. Correct.
Especially when it comes to media. And I belong to one of the other boards, and they don't like it. But I think they don't like it because if they're true to themselves, they see they have something, you know, that they can learn from what we're doing in the SWAC to make our conference marketable, not just one team, but make our conference. Because in the SWAC, let's be honest, it's any given Saturday with most teams. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
And that makes exciting football.
No doubt. Well, when you start seeing highly talented players coming back to HBCUs,
yes,
you know, Jackson State leading the forefront of that through, you know, Coach Prime and his staff. They've done a remarkable job, top 55 class. But let's be honest about something.
54, sir.
These PW, I said top 55. I didn't say 54. You're right, brother. You got me. You got me. Let me say this, though. These PWIs, oh, my goodness, man. These PWIs have only had a leg up based off of what? Facilities and what they had to offer these players. But our, you know, you're looking at 70% African-American on most of these PWI rosters.
Yeah.
Man, when you get your players coming back to the SWAC, there's no other FCS program, conference, or anybody that can brand themselves like an HBCU can, man. We got the culture. We get the TV presence. And now when we start getting some facilities and the players, oh, man, they can hang it up. They should be.
And Ken, and when we get the uniforms and the helmets, like this chrome helmet that was unveiled, that did spark some controversy.
If it wasn't no controversy, it wouldn't be Jackson State,
huh?
Let me say this to the listeners. Sometimes we have to be the voice of reason because they act on emotion, and then you have some people who are caught up in the traditional look, which is, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I will, and this is not trying to spin it or change anybody's opinion, but two things. Number one, that helmet that you saw is not the one and only helmet. It's not like we're going to play in that 11, 12 times. So let's realize this. We have a number of helmets. I guarantee you, your favorite helmet, you will see it, whether it's the block, whether it's the, and I don't want to give too much away, but whatever you had in mind for Jackson State, from a uniform standpoint, from a color standpoint, from a helmet standpoint, chances are you will see it. You're just not going to see it 10, 11, 12 times. That's right. Number one. And then number two, for those who don't like it, the kids love it. The players love it. The recruits love it. And I'm pretty sure you'd rather have a winning product. Winning cures all. So looking at these big schools with the flashiness, and they see that an HBCU can provide the same thing. It draws them in. And honestly, I'm a traditional guy. Don't get me wrong. Don't take this the wrong way. My old heads, I'm a traditional guy. I'm black. I'm just like you are. But these kids, unfortunately, they don't care about it.
They don't.
Yeah.
Well, the block ain't going nowhere. I mean, the block is here to stay. I mean, you know, it's protecting the block.
But you have.
But ain't nothing wrong with it. It's a footnote
in our history that it makes us, gives us something to be proud of, something to sit around at tailgates and talk about. So it's an important aspect of our history. But as you say, we can't get stuck back and take it from somebody who loved JSU history. I can accept that we're moving and making new history for a new generation. I can't force what I like in my history back in the 60s, the 70s, and the 60s, I was there.
I told you before we were born.
I caught it, but I had to own it. So
you're going to do a whole series of Tiger Talk history. JSU history was my point.
Huh?
We're gonna do a whole series of shows, JSU history with Levine.
Hey, when I said it's 60s, I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, 68. My dad just got there. I was there, so
You know, I get it. You know, traditional alumni, I understand that. Our senior alumni, we do love it and we appreciate y'all. We're gonna keep some of those traditions there, but sometimes you gotta switch it up. And to be honest, our alumni, they can't run a 4.4 and a 40, and they don't have any eligibility left. So we got to do something to attract the young kids.
Mike, that's cool.
I'll say this about that too, is that winning cures all. I think a lot of the gripes that you've seen has just been, man, it's just been a bad 7 years, you know, of like losing. We got JSU PTSD. Because we've been losing, man, and so when you're losing, everything is a problem. I can assure you, man, that if they got that shiny helmet, with I believe they can put J.R. Lynch on the side of them helmets. If they holding up that SWAC, you know what I'm saying? If they holding that SWAC trophy up at the end of the year, man, nobody is going to care. if it was a block on the helmet. Now, don't get me wrong. It's going to be a somebody few. Will. We are talking about Jackson State. I had to correct myself. We are talking about our beloved, you know, alum and family and friends and supporters. We know how it goes. But like you guys have said, this is a new era. You know, we're all parents on this podcast. We all understand that, you know, these kids love it, man. And if that's what it's going to take, it used to be a time we watched we could watch JUCOs. We had JUCOs that had better uniforms than us. Anymore. Yeah. Not anymore. And I'm not going to say nothing else about them. The uniforms are fire, though. Saw a little peep under the tent. And, but
more reveals are coming. You know, we.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we you know, we're fortunate to get a little sometimes we see some things or hear some things in advance. So
just a little bit every now and again. We don't share though.
Just bear with
us. I know that's probably his marketing plan.
You just made up a good point. Coach Prime is a master marketing genius, man.
He is.
So when you look at when he first showed up to Jackson State, he was saying, "What we gotta believe." He's like, "I believe this, I believe that," and just like that, he got a J with a "I believe" going through the side of it. Slapped that on the helmet. I mean, come on, man, come on now. A chrome helmet.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right, that's all I got.
I wonder how many people go to Oregon to play on that green field, or go to
Boise State with the blue field.
To play with that blue field, man. Come on, right. Come on.
And one last thing to your point, Corey. Decals on helmets are adjustable, so it might look one way today, tomorrow it can look totally different. So stick in there.
Absolutely. And and again, for you traditionalists, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm with you, I get it, I understand it. I'm all about the tradition as well, protecting the brand, displaying the brand, but you know, at the end of the day, I understand it from both sides. I understand that we want that logo and that brand to be prominent. But at the same time, as I stated, the kids love it. So, you know, Coach Prime is going with it. So I'm with him. You know, whatever direction he goes in, I'm with it. Because at the end of the day, I know he's going to put a great product on the field that we're going to be proud of. He's growing the university, not just the athletics department, but he's growing the university. So if he wants a chrome helmet with a decal on it, then, hey, let's roll with it. All right. What else is new, fellas? New. Turf practice field.
I think we arrived on campus in November. Brand new locker room will be complete probably by November, with all the bells and whistles, players lounge, barber shop, everything. Brand new turf field. Wow. We're doing a grass field right here. That should be done in probably about a month. So we'll have two practice surfaces. We deserve this. Our kids need this. They wanted this. And we went out and hustled, worked our butts off, and got it. Walmart, I thank you. NFL, I thank you. And Smack, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for everything we're accomplishing.
Man, oh man.
Man, it looks so good out there.
It's as you we could almost get emotional, man. That feel is unbelievable, man.
Man,
it's a long time coming. Long time coming. I'm so happy for those players and the university. Beautiful, beautiful field, man.
I can't count how many times I just pulled the pictures up just to look at.
Just to look, man. You took the words out of my mouth. I stared. I'm in awe. It's unreal. It's unbelievable to see, especially in such a short amount of time, because this is something that we've been talking about and talking about and talking about. And it's like overnight. A lot of people didn't know what was going on. A lot of people were asking me, what's going on there? What are they doing? And then just seems like 2-3 days later, boom, it's there. And you see the pictures and you're like, wait a minute, where did this come from? How did this happen so fast?
It used to hurt, man, to see our coaches have to put our players on the bus and drive them up to Germantown or drive them over to Forest Hill. It's so cool, man, that, you know, we should have had it already, you know, but I'm so thankful that we got it now. It's so dope. And that block JSU, hey, talking about branding.
You're talking about
tradition. Come on, man. Right. You're talking about tradition.
Yeah, those
got the navy blue block JSU in the middle of the field. Oh, my goodness, man.
And the boom blue.
And also.
I like that. I like that. Some people want to know why, but it goes to what he was saying. He's here for the baseball team, the basketball team, even the band. And he even though he just put a little blue on both sides, it was a shout out to our Sonic Boom and that tradition that goes along with that boom too.
Mm-hmm. If I'm taking a wild guess,
I love how all-inclusive he is, you know, including the boom and considering the track team and talking about the soccer team and just, you know, doing some things with the cheerleaders. I mean, it's unbelievable how inclusive he is. And we also, we have the grass practice field that's coming. It should be completed in August. So how huge is it going to be? And Coach Prime talks about the importance of having those two fields. What can we get done in practice now?
Mm. Run the offense on one, defense on another. We can multitask better. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he mentioned it in the past. He just said, you know, you can maximize 1 hour. In 1 hour's time you got to practice, if you split in the same field, I mean, now you're just showing out, Coach Brown. We loving it, man. I mean, think about it like this. In preparation, though, imagine when you're going to a stadium to play against a team that has a grass field. So you get to practice that, you know, if you're going to play against a Southern, you're going to Mumford, guess what? We're going to practice on that turf field. If it's going to be raining, you might wet the field up a little bit. So you're kind of getting those guys prepared, you know, for preparation, because not every SWAC school is going to be playing on turf.
Well, Southern's still going to find a way to cheat no matter how we prepare. So
it's
good in theory. It's cool.
We do know in the past we had a SWAC school that wet down the field on game day when we played them. So,
the history teacher, Mr. Levine.
The Alabama schools, too, they always find a way to kind of, you know.
Cheating don't matter if cheating don't matter, like QB1 said, if we get that blowout. I'm gonna just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Cheat all you want.
Don't get back started. Kid Clark, don't get back started. We've already gone back and forth on that. But shout out to QB1.
I'm done, man. I'm done.
Also, fellas, along with what's new, you know, we talked about the grass practice field coming in August. Also, the new locker room coming in November with players' lounge, barbershop, juice bar. I mean, the work. So I don't know if you follow those accounts, those recruiting accounts where the top prospects go on their official visits and they'll take all of the videos and stories that those recruits post and they'll put it like on their own site. Right. And you can see when they visit Alabama. You can see when they visit LSU. You can see the facilities. And I can't lie, man, they look great. And I can see why they're attracted to those places. Now, obviously, Coach Prime has always talked about not necessarily wanting kids who need those things. He wants kids who just want the basics, the necessities, doesn't need the bells and whistles, just wants an opportunity to go pro. Obviously, you need your food, you need a place to stay, a place to sleep, stuff like that. But it's nice. You can't deny it. It's nice. So to hear that we're incorporating some of those things that's going to help us from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
Big time, man.
Yeah.
It's going to help us get that 5-star.
It's the little things that we as adults don't see that kids look for when you're recruiting a man, a juice bar or the training table. I've heard players say they're looking forward to the training table.
Mm. Something's so small, but it's so big. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's my point.
I remember, man, we did a show not too long ago. We talked about what you get out of going to an HBCU, talk about a safe haven that, you know, HBCU's offering a great campus life that that PWIs can't really compete with. The one thing that they always have had, they had more money and they had better facilities. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing. If you give a HBCU the facilities that look like a PWI, mm-hmm. That's a recipe for winning. And like Mike said, that might be the one thing that lands that 5-star, but a barbershop,
mm-hmm.
Come on, players' lounge. Come on, man. This is
Coach Prime talks about leveling the playing field, and that's what.
Oh my goodness,
that's what he's been talking about. That literally levels the playing field because, again, if you can give them that experience and they can not even the same. But see, I know we talk about leveling the playing field, and Coach Prime even said, "I don't want to level the playing field. I want to have the advantage." That's great, but even if we can't level it, even if we can get close from a facility standpoint, the HBCU environment, the culture, just the being on the yard, the lifestyle, I think that'll tip the balance.
Right. And look, hitting on what you said, Corey, there's a player that a parent relayed to me that her son said, he said to her, "Mom, for the first time, I feel like I can be myself."
Speak on it, Levine, because we've talked about it. But you don't have to say a player's name, but tell that story. What all did he say?
He said for the first time that he's been playing ball, and he feel like since he's been at Jackson State, he found himself and he feel like he can be himself. And that it was more important to him than the facilities. Now, they come out of this kid's mouth.
So this is a kid that played majority of his career at predominantly white institutions.
Yes, indeed.
He was a P5 transfer. I'll say that.
Yes.
Okay.
He came from big time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that blew my mind.
That's man, that's so powerful, man. I don't have nothing to add, but man, that gave you chills, man. Because you know, we all know, you know, we all went to Jackson State. We all know what this institution means to us, and we all know what it's like to be outside of a space where we're comfortable, where we're not comfortable.
Right, right,
and
right.
We also know what it's like to be amongst family. And when, you know, I'm just so happy that Coach Prime is here to see that. And then I can see Coach Prime taking it to that next level, because if you just got Jackson State being the only school that's got some of these goods, we kind of go stick out like a sore thumb. And we can beat everybody. You know, we can beat the crap out of everybody or whatever, but imagine if all of the schools get on that level. Now you're talking about a brand of football that's in the swag that's going to be second to none, really.
That's what the haters are missing, you know, and I think a lot of it is jealousy. When they see Coach Prime come to Jackson State combined with the brand that we have, they know the writing's on the wall.
Right.
From a football standpoint, they know that they're not going to be able to compete. So they get their jabs in and get their jokes in. But what they're not realizing is that he truly is here to do it for everybody. And they're slowly starting to realize that you're seeing less and less of the hate with the, you know, obviously what came out recently with what he's trying to do, the offer that he put out there. Not even an offer, just for Coach Dancy at Mississippi Valley State. Not an offer, but just saying, hey, we're here. What do you need?
Coach Dancy, Mississippi Valley. We had a wonderful conversation with your kids that were there at Media Day, man. How can we help you get this? Everybody out there listening to this, how can we help Mississippi Valley State get the same darn thing we got? Because our kids ain't no better than them. They deserve it as well. Shouldn't be just us. That's a good brother that loves his kids, love the responsibility that God has placed on his heart, and he loved the position he's in. We need to help him get the resources to do the same darn thing.
So they're starting to realize, like, wait a minute, he's really trying to help other schools as well.
That was powerful. That was a power move. Wow. I mean, how you competing against Mississippi Valley, but you know, Coach Dance is a JSU Tiger, man. I mean, he a Tiger. You know, once a Tiger, always a Tiger. We know, you know, on game day, we rooting for Jackson State. You know, but we also wish him the best. But my goodness, man, I'm excited for Vincent, and we'd love to see what he can do for them as well, man. We'd love to see what he can do for them as well. We all, it's enough to go around, man, and that's the thing that, like you said, Corey, that the haters don't get.
I mean, it goes around in the SEC. So,
yes, it does.
Why can't it go around? So,
you see two big, powerful institutions trying to join the SEC too. I'm gonna just leave it at that.
Because they recognize abundance, you know, and for a long time, a lot of our you know, sweat competitors, they saw things as limited, you know, from a limited perspective. But you know, it's enough out there for everybody. So we just have to adapt that mindset of abundance. And we can go far as a conference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
All right, fellas, what else is new? Well, Coach Prime unveiled that there's a partnership between Jackson State and Walmart, as well as Jackson State and the NFL. Now, to some, that may be considered new, but a lot of us knew about it. We've heard about it. But for him to put it out there for the fan base to hear it from the horse's mouth, that was huge to understand, to find out that we're partnering with these large corporations. I think specifically for me, the fact that they want to partnership with an HBCU and particularly Jackson State.
Right. This is what I expected. You know, this is what I anticipated when we hired Coach Prime as the head football coach. You know, I expected these opportunities to come about. So to see it come to fruition, it's good. Good thing.
Oh, yeah. And it shows that we're moving in the trending, not only through social media, but through endorsement and partnership. We're expanding our brand here at JSU, and that's huge.
Yeah,
and I think we all knew that when he first, I think was it the on his podcast or one of them, when he announced that he was going to be the head coach. I think he had Roger Goodell, and I think he even spoke to Jerry Jones. So, I mean, we know the relationships are there. We just don't. We may not know the capacity of it, but I mean, it's showing. So, we're appreciative.
And that's another good thing. He's not bragging about that stuff. He's not.
No.
Fun. He's give you a little nugget. He hit that so quick in that video. Yeah,
he did.
Shout out to Walmart. He hit it so quick, but just enough to let the fans know I'm working for you. And just be patient. We getting that.
And we still got that day of giving coming up in the month of August. So, you know, even though we got partnerships, we still got to make sure we donate. I just want to put that out
there. Absolutely. Coming up in August. So we'll definitely be pubbing that a lot on Tiger Talk to make sure we don't forget about it. The social media team at Jackson State, they do a really good job of promoting that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put on the day of it. I think they get everybody involved. Everybody's retweeting it and then reposting right. it. So you'll definitely hear about it. So definitely great stuff. Great stuff. All right. What else is new, fellas? I think a big 18-wheeler just rolled into town recently. It had a Jackson State logo. It had a Coach Prime, I believe, logo.
Got a JSU big-time fan driving it for us at KLM. That's awesome.
Wait, what do you mean, a JSU big-time fan?
Driving? Well, the driver of the 18-wheeler actually works for KLM, but he's also a big JSU fan.
Okay.
KLM got him and tagged him to be our 18-wheeler driver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I thought the truck looked beautiful. I mean, I love the graphics. The stripe going down the middle was beautiful. The block on that thing, you know. Shout out to our 4 Hall of Famers, 5th Hall of Famer being our head coach, and the late, great W.C. Gordon, man. Beautiful, beautiful truck. I mean, it puts us in the ball game. Our truck looked better than all the rest of them.
Yeah,
you know, no, but
yeah, you're biased, but I you're right.
Though. I know.
It just pops. We were talking about with Light On Sports, how this stuff just pops. Well, that truck just pops. It stands out. I just want to be on the interstate one day, not expecting it, and I want to see it just roll past me. Yeah,
That would be nice.
For those of you who don't know, the 18-wheeler will be used to transport the football equipment. I know that question has been posed, so that's the primary purpose of the truck.
But isn't that like great marketing, though? Don't you think?
You can't
see that truck go down the highway like you said, Corey. You don't even have to be affiliated with Jackson State, and that's going to put Jackson State on your mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's genius, man. Mm-hmm. I love
it. That truck has to go from Jackson, Mississippi, all the way down to Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yes,
great
sir.
Point. Great point.
Absolutely. All right, great stuff. And I do want to give a shout out to our former head football coach. Coach John Hendrick, he was announced as the defensive coordinator at Hines Community College. So, you know, I they got a good one. That defense, he's going to get
defense going to be good.
Yeah,
congratulations, Coach
Tiger. Yeah, definitely. He's been on the show. You know, great man, always respectful of us and giving us our time, yes. opening up and being transparent. And Levine, I know you've been able to work with him.
Mostly. Oh,
my God. What were your experiences like with Coach Henry?
I found him to be very genuine. And I work with all the other recruited coaches doing this academic recruitment thing, but I found him to be very genuine and very spirit-led type of guy. And some of the one-on-ones we would have, it would be about putting the best product with the players, making sure the players had everything they needed, and honesty. That's something that he was trying to be totally honest with him. So that was my guy, and I'm happy for him, man. Big shout out to you.
Yeah, Hines got a good one. I think that defense is going to be tough.
Send us some dogs, Coach, some defensive dogs. I know you got them.
Oh, yeah, you got them over there.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. All right, fellas. Well, you know, we can go at this one all day, all night, because there's so much new, man. And if you're trying to keep up with what's going on at Jack State on social media, it's a full-time job because it just keeps coming.
That's true.
Shout out to the social media team. They just keep the news.
Oh, my goodness.
Every day, all day.
We get off work, man. You got to take a good 15 minutes to 30 minutes just to get caught up
every day. Just to get caught up. Yeah, if you get behind. If you can't get behind, because, yeah, you'll never catch up. But we'll stay here. Stay tuned right here with Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. We'll keep you posted. Not only what's new, but also what's next. You know, we have countdown to fall football camp coming up. So we'll be right here for that. Countdown to the actual season kicking off. Obviously, we'll have it all. Basketball, getting back in the gear. Coach Reed, as we speak, is in Atlanta, Georgia, doing some recruiting. So we know she's gonna land it. Don't be surprised if you see a player on the roster next year from Atlanta. If she's in Atlanta, she's going to bring somebody back with her. So looking forward to that. The men's team, they're working. They're quiet. They like to go about their business. You don't see a lot of flash, a lot of noise coming from them, but they're getting it done. So definitely looking forward to what they're going to bring to the table. Coach Berg, I know he's out there actively getting it done along with Coach Brent. So looking forward to those guys coming back as well. We'll be hearing from him soon on Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. And I do want to give a shout out to Coach Juanita Ward, former assistant basketball coach for the women's team. She's moved on. You know, we love her for what she's brought to the table, especially from a recruiting standpoint. I know she was instrumental in, you know, Sequoia Allman and some of the other Danny Dozens that we brought in. We're going to miss her, but she's moved on and she's pursuing her ministry. That's always been her thing. She's a powerful speaker. She spreads the word. So she's going to be doing that full time. So we can't knock her for that. But thank you for what you did for us, Coach Ward.
And don't forget Coach Omar.
Absolutely.
He's doing that baseball team, man. I've had players that come from Louisiana. Y'all know I love my Southern Louisiana heritage. I've had players, at least three players, that wasn't even on the radar. I can call Omar. He would meet me at that baseball field and give these kids individual tryouts, man. He's done it three times. I call. He never told me, Levine, I'm full. He's like, hey, bring him up. And then if the kid did not pan out, he would put them on our list so the kid could be looked at by other schools and write letters for him. Man, that dude is phenomenal, man.
Wow. That's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, Coach Omar Johnson was on the show about 2 weeks ago. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, go listen. You know, we don't get to hear from him often, but when he speaks, you know, he puts it out there. He let us know a lot, gave us a lot of insight on the baseball team and the program and the direction that they're going in. He's doing some great things from a recruiting standpoint, and we're looking for that team to come back strong next year as well. So a lot going on. Thank you to the fans. I mean, the Tiger Talk ratings, I mean, they're just going up. The numbers continue to climb. We're at an all-time high, so you guys are definitely listening. We love your feedback. Keep it coming, and we're going to keep bringing it. All right, fellas, until next time.
All right.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Always good.
Always a pleasure, man. Great show.
Yeah, I'm humbled and honored. Thank you for bringing me back, brother.
The history teacher.
Professor Levine.
ASU, buddy. Born and bred. McKinley Street.
And that'll do it for episode 172 of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. Thank you to all of our listeners. And again, be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast. Apple Podcast listeners, rate and review the show. And everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Instagram and Twitter. I cannot stress the importance of this enough. We're looking to do some big things with this platform to aid the athletics department. And it all starts with you. Downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show. And tell every Tiger that you know. We're on all podcast outlets. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, and so on. And we'll be posting each episode on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages. As always, thanks for your support. Go Tigers. Hashtag I Believe. Hashtag Pack the Vet. Hashtag The I Love.